You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, climate change might affect more than our natural environment. A guest tells us that it could contribute to public health problems.
First, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton unveiled a new plane that will transport the candidate and all her staff, plus reporters covering her campaign. In past election years, reporters have pretty much always traveled with the candidates, but both Clinton and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump have flown separately from the press across the nation.
Clinton also held her first press conference, even though it's been called a mini press conference by some, on her new campaign plane. It was the first time the candidate has held a press conference in 274 days.
Late last week, we spoke to Jim Rutenberg about the historic lack of media access to candidates during the current presidential election and why it matters. He's a media columnist for the New York Times. Jim, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before we get to this year's election, what does normal look like? And I know this isn't really a normal election year, but how much media access is there usually for a presidential candidate?
I mean, normally, and not just like recent history, but like going back decades, the press corps covering the candidates live with the candidates. So you are on these planes covering campaigns, covering primaries and caucuses, and even the period before that, on the plane with the candidates. And look, it's not like earth-shattering, and you know, it's not like the democracy isn't going to hinge on this. But at the same time, you know who they are. You see them after a big loss or after a big victory. You talk to their people constantly, so you really, you know, that this sort of what I call the what it takes part of the candidacy. What are they made of?
And what do we get out of that as a public, as media consumers of reporters having that kind of access?
For one, you know that, let's say, a candidate throws out a proposal that's getting creamed out there in the world, right, which presidential candidates do a lot of, these pie-in-the-sky proposals. You get to see them pelted with questions so they can answer some of the criticism in real time or fail to answer that criticism, so it can be substantive. Secondarily, you see how they deal with adversity. You do get to sometimes see them with their guards down. They may try to put on a face in front of reporters, but you look up that plane and you see the advisors grim-faced around them. You know really how they deal with their staffs and how they comport themselves. So these are things that are conveyed to the readers. It's not about reporters saying, wow, look at me, I'm with the big candidate.
Now, reporters are not on the planes, and that's just the beginning of the concern I think a lot of people in the media have. Let's take one candidate at a time. Hillary Clinton, no press conferences as we usually understand them for quite a good long time now.
Right, which I think is in the territory of disgrace, right? Like, this is press conferences are where, again, we see the candidates parrying the questions from reporters on real issues. They don't know what's going to come at them. They're thinking on their toes. It's important to see a president have press conferences, and President Obama doesn't have enough, in my view, at all. But a presidential candidate really should be doing that. And we're talking for Hillary Clinton. It's been since December. Her campaign will say that she's done some 350 interviews, but you know, some of those interviews are with, you know, radio DJs who want to talk about her astrological sign, or, you know, and then others are very targeted about a moment in time when she has a message she wants to get out and she still has a modicum of control.
Right. A lot of people made the case that there's something about that open press conference. You don't know what the questions are going to be. You don't know what's going to be thrown at you. That tells us something important about the candidate.
I think it does. And his or her policies, because, you know, she's going to be asked about maybe Syria. Maybe now her fear is she's only going to be asked about emails. But, you know, sorry, but in democracy, the politicians and government officials don't get to pick their questions.
And you're worried, you write, that this is a sign of things to come if Hillary Clinton wins and is then President Clinton, that it's an indication of the lack of openness or transparency she might have in the White House.
Yeah, because when you look at the not only the press conferences, not only the plane, but her private email server, which to me as a media columnist, what got me about that story is less, not that this doesn't matter, less how confidential, very sensitive national security information was handled, but how she was trying to get around public disclosure. She didn't want her correspondence being viewed in the sort of public access realm that we get with government email servers. you could talk about not wanting, she doesn't want her yoga emails, as she had put it, seen, but, you know, there's other official business that was mixed up in here, and she set something up so that the public couldn't see it.
And you write that you're worried that a President Clinton would continue a lot of things you've worried about under President Obama when it comes to transparency, when it comes to disclosure of information after media requests.
Yeah, and to give her fairness here, she has said, look, the email server was a mistake. When they speak with me, her people say, no, she takes transparency seriously. But talk is cheap, especially off the record background talk. You know, she needs to, I think, do a lot more to show that she means it. But more importantly, she has to do it.
Talking to Jim Rutenberg, media columnist for The New York Times, about press access to presidential candidates, or lack of same very often. Let's turn to Donald Trump. Now, when it comes to press conferences, he has talked a lot to the media. You see some positives there.
He's way more accessible. One caveat, he has tamped down on press conferences in the last few weeks as the people around him try to impose a kind of more classic style of politician discipline. That said, Donald Trump has been out there constantly. I mean, I asked for a count of his interviews from his campaign, and they couldn't even put them together because it'd be into the high hundreds, if not, you know, well over 1,000. He's had some 50, at least 50 press conferences. And, you know, I'm sure this is to the frustration of the people around him, but his campaign is not opaque. You kind of know what's going on. It's been chaotic, you know, and that's not good for his message. But you have a sense of things. You don't have a sense of him on his plane, because he doesn't have reporters on his plane either. And he does try to control it as much as he can. And there are some other really big warning signs about Donald Trump in the press, and that is that he keeps a media warning. He keeps a media blacklist where he wants certain reporters he doesn't like to not be around. And, you know, he'll do these other kind of cutoffs of the press.
I wonder if there's something different in this day and age of the social media. And I think I'm mostly going back to the plane here, where one offhand comment doesn't just go unnoticed on page 5 of the paper. It can be tweeted and Facebooked and all over the place very quickly. Is that part of why a candidate like Hillary Clinton, maybe in particular, wouldn't want to let their guard down?
People have theorized that, and I get it. I just think reporters had tape recorders before. We had cameras. The photographers were on the planes. So, yeah, information moves faster, and Twitter's an uglier place often. But I just think that from the very start of her public service career, Hillary Clinton has had a sort of arm's length view of the press and has not been kind of enamored with the press and in her view isn't treated fairly by the press, which shows you where you stand is where you sit, because, you know, I can't tell you how many email messages I get that we're all Hillary Clinton sycophants, but she certainly doesn't see it that way.
Well, throwing some devil's advocate questions at you, as I might at a press conference, I guess, is there a worry that if the reporters are on the plane, they might get too cozy with the candidate and with the staff and sort of onboard mentality?
Yeah, and I definitely, that is an issue. It has been an issue over the years. There has been too much coziness between candidates, their campaigns, and reporters. But to me, you have to always err on the side of access. That means that reporters need to stay mindful. Their editors or their bosses who kind of aren't on the plane need to kind of keep an eye on them and remind them, you know, warn them when they think they're getting too cozy. These are professionals. This is what we're trained to do. When it becomes a problem, and it does, I think become a big problem, it can be corrected. But you get in an area where the precedent is now set that the press does not have access. And as I wrote, secrecy does not yield good things. It never has. And, you know, our history is full of examples.
So suppose we're talking now and in an hour we hear, oh, Hillary Clinton just announced full-on mass media press conference. Problem solved?
No. I mean, Hillary Clinton, she's having a press conference. Great. But that doesn't erase months of not flying around with the press. That doesn't erase setting up a private email server that is not fully disclosing public work documents to the public when it wants them. So one press conference is not going to prove that she's somehow becoming more transparent. It's going to take a lot more going forward. Hopefully we're going to see it quickly this week, because her campaign promised post-Labor Day she's going to have reporters on her plane. Hopefully we'll see more press conferences, but one does not do it.
And Donald Trump, there's some news that he may be loosening up that banned list for media reporters. What would you like to see from that campaign?
I'd like to see no more talk ever again about a blacklist. I would like to see public disclosure of his taxes. This is what every candidate has done with us in the press for, you know, as long as I can remember. And he needs to have the press on his plane, too. It can't just be, you know, all the access in the world when it suits him. We love the access, but it's got to be sometimes answering the harder questions and dealing with reporters he doesn't like, because, again, that's the job. It's what our democracy is built upon. It's not built upon a press that the public official likes or the public official and his supporters like.
You wrote about the Barry Goldwater campaign, a conservative candidate adversarial relationship often with the perceived East Coast liberal media. But they were on the plane and it was a useful relationship, you thought, for the public. Could we go back to those days again?
I think that we really should. You know, the great example. I mean, Barry Goldwater is kind of the godfather of the, especially in conservative politics, the sort of messaging against the quote unquote liberal East Coast or coastal press. So Barry Goldwater still had a very respectful relationship with his press corps. He got his message out. They got their stories done. You know, at Reagan too, and Bush 41, certainly, to a lesser extent, 43. Bush 41 had an amazingly good relationship with his press corps. And he fought with them, and they disagreed. But the public dialogue was served, and all sides were reported. He could, I don't think he always thought the press was fair to him, but he saw them as kind of at least professionals who were worthy of his attention, and because they also represent millions and millions of readers, and that's really what it's about more than anything. It's about collectively these millions of readers, the voters, and it's almost to me disrespectful to them. Lesson, you know, we're journalists, we're, you know, ink stained wretches, and you're fine, but our readers should matter.
Jim, one of two things is going to happen here. Either Hillary Clinton is going to win after avoiding press conferences for at least a big chunk of the campaign, or Donald Trump is going to win after, you know, reporter blacklists, other things like that. Is this going to establish a new normal for future candidates if they see what they can get away with? Is there any reason for them not to do it?
I fear that it does establish a new normal. It took decades to get the level of access that we have, and, you know, it's going to take a long time to rebuild it. I think that a lot of the damage has been done, which is why what I'd like to see is the National Press Corps of all persuasions coming together and as one and saying, we will not accept it. Now, we still have to report the news, so it's sort of, I don't know where the leverage point is, and that's something people have to figure out, but they have to fight this every step of the way and not accept being marginalized, because it's, again, it's about the readers and it's about transparency in our democracy.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
Okay, thanks so much for having me.
That was Jim Rutenberg, media columnist for the New York Times. He joins us to talk about the lack of media access to candidates Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in this presidential election campaign. We spoke to him last Thursday. Clinton spoke with the press briefly yesterday and will begin traveling on her new campaign plane with members of the press.